Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Satan, Temptation, and Sin is the little series that we're going through right now. We are on part 4, The Fall of a Great Man, part 2. We are considering exactly that, Satan, Temptation, and Sin. We've considered his subtlety, as we saw in the Garden of Eden. It is the first attribute of Satan mentioned in the Bible. He's subtle. So subtle. He has not changed. He is subtle with us. If he jumped out with horns, breathing fire, a tail, and a red suit, and a pitchfork, you'd run. But he doesn't. He comes to us very appealingly. His goal is to destroy. He wants to keep the unsaved unsaved, and he wants to destroy the spiritual life and the effectiveness of every believer. And our story in Samson illustrates this point. How would you like this throughout the ages? You are good for a bad example. That's Jonah. That's Samson. Parts of David's life and others. But we are going to study Samson here, part 2 today, because it is so relevant, because we are tempted. And this really does picture a great man who has fallen. Very, very, very brief context. Israel has been delivered from Egypt. They've passed through the Red Sea. They've gone through the 40 years wilderness wandering. Moses has died. Joshua has taken the leadership, and he led them across Jordan. They've conquered the promised land, and there they divided the land among the tribes. The tribes failed to be what they should have been, and so God has a time of judges where he is raising up men to bring them back to the Lord, and Samson is one of those judges. This man with a very high calling is so easily sidetracked by temptation. Our symbolism here is Samson represents a Christian. Delilah represents anything that lures the believer away from his God-given responsibilities and relationship with God. It's interesting, as you read the story of Delilah, it doesn't say, if I can use the expression, what she is. We know that she's personified as a woman. But it doesn't say anything about a physical relationship. It doesn't say a wife. It doesn't say. And I believe that's intentional, to allow Delilah to represent anything that sidetracks us, distracts us, tempts us from God. And I believe that the five Philistine lords that offer Delilah money are the powers of evil, trying to destroy, in this case, Samson. Samson has been warned. He has not heeded the warnings. He was to be holy. He was to be fulfilling his God-given responsibilities. Instead, he was foolishly pursuing his Delilah. She appealed to Samson, but she was nothing more than a snare. And she wanted Samson to decide between her and God. She did not hide her intentions. She asked Samson, wherewith can you be bound that you have no strength? Tell me. She wanted to afflict him. She didn't hide her intentions. What are you lured by? Did you ever notice when you go to the fishing department, all of the lures look tempting to a fish, but they all have one thing in common, a hook. So the fish will be deceived. And those of you who are fishermen wondering, really? Anyway. Delilah is going to persist. Samson, tell me, where is your great strength? Tell me, tell me, tell me. The very source of his relationship with God, tell me, tell me, tell me. Instead of him out exercising his relationship with God, exercising the strength he has from God, he's wasting his time, his resources, and the nation of Israel is waiting for him. Would you deliver us from the Philistines? And how many times are Christians wasting time that they ought to be using to God's purposes? And so it is, she persists. And three times are listed that Samson gives these excuses. And in each case, she tries them. Have you ever been warned about cigarettes? It's right on every pack. Do you remember the advertisement many, many, many years ago? The two little boys take the cigarettes. This was on TV. And they run around somewhere behind, I forget, the barn, the house, something. They pull out a cigarette and they take a puff and they cough and cough and cough. And it says, did you think your body's trying to tell you something? Samson, every time Delilah has tried to bind you, haven't you figured it out yet? So it is the subtlety of Satan and how foolishly blind we can get to sin. Let us consider part two of the fall of this great man. Judges 16:15. She said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself, and wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Let us pick up at this point. And verses 15 and 16, how can you say I love thee? Oh, he loved her. And she continued to mock, you don't love me. Putting him on a guilt trip. If you love me. Guilt trip. And he wasn't strong enough to say no. Fathers, leaders, learn to stand up and say no when no needs to be said. This is what he needed to do. There are two ways that Samson can end this struggle. One, he can get a hold of himself and depart from sin. Or he can give in to it. Right? There's two ways you can deal with a chocolate chip cookie that's tempting you. You can eat it and the temptation's over, right? Well, that's not the right way to get rid of the temptation. Daily. Look at verse 16. It came to pass when she pressed him daily. And this is consuming his mind. Oh, if only I could have this, whatever your Delilah is. Set free from this, or if only I could have some possession or something or somebody. What's God want you to do? What's God want you to do? Apparently this has gone on. We only have three excuses that Samson offered. And yet it went on daily. Every day his mind was tormented with this. Well, then stop playing with it. As they say, cut your losses and run. Why do you stay there? Samson has responsibility, but he's forsaken them. And people are waiting for him. They're counting on him. He needs to get busy for God, but he's busy about the wrong things. What are you busy about? Is this really what God wants you to do? We ought to be busy for the Lord, but make sure it's the things that God wants us to do. God tells us what to do. We don't tell God what we're going to do. What do you want me to do today? And do the obvious. Start there. Well, what's the will of God? I've already covered this before many times. The obvious. Are you father? Be a godly father. Are you a kid? Be a godly kid. Are you a wife? Be a godly wife. Are you an employee? Be a godly employee. Start there and let God unfold the rest of his plan for you. He's pretty good at it. And he puts you in time and space it's pretty much right in front of you. Start there. If God has bigger plans, let Him unfold them. In Samson's case, it unfolded that he was a judge, and he had great responsibility. Samson now hates the very thing that he so diligently desired. Look at the end of chapter 16, verse 6. He was vexed unto death because she wouldn't stop. Whatever is pursuing you, it's not going to stop until you get a hold of it and say no. No. That word vex is interesting. It kind of comes from the idea of harvesting a crop. You cut it down right where it is. This is where he is. He's being vexed, cut down. That which was so diligently pursued by him has now become a burden. No longer. In one sense, he's in the middle of it, and yet for some foolish reason, he is not going to say no. Even though it's a frustration. It used to be a joy, lighthearted, oh, make light of this, oh, sure, tie me this way, do this, and now it's becoming an aggravation. Is this not the nature of anything that addicts us? Samson is ensnared, and it is very hard for him to stop. Remember, your Delilah could be anything from immorality, drugs, alcohol, gambling, gossip, worry, fear, lying, lust of money, power, anything that draws you away from what God wants you to be. Samson's soul had no peace. When you toy with sin, you will have no peace. You see, when you're a Christian, you're sealed by a Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is trying to guide you. And that Holy Spirit is doing His work in you and wants you to walk in the Spirit. But you have an old nature and the powers of evil which are going to tempt you to do wrong. And so the Holy Spirit is on one side calling you to do such and such, and that temptation is leading you away. And the two is a struggle. And it's very real. Are you tormented sometimes? You don't even understand it? There's a good chance God's trying to wake you up. It's the Christian battle to do right. And that uncomfortable feeling day by day is God working. That Holy Spirit is trying to tell you, would you stop? Would you do this? And so it is, Samson has no peace. He played with sin and eventually it enslaved him and he has no peace. Verse 17. That he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me. I shall become weak and be like any other man. Here it is, Samson. Desperate. He is so tired of this internal struggle. He finally, shall we say, comes clean. He pours out his heart to his Delilah. That which is tempting him so greatly. He's a Nazarite, a man holy unto God. Now, why is Samson doing this? Because he wants to end the torment. I can't take this. But instead of giving in and doing what's right, if you will, the knowledge that he has to do right before God, he does not give in to that and say, I'm going to stand up and be a man. Instead, he succumbs and says, well, maybe if I tell her, then she'll stop. Then I'll have peace. By the way, why is it so hard to stand up and say, I'm a Christian? Why is it so hard for Samson to stand up and say, I'm a Nazarite? So it is, he wants to end this torment and he declares to Delilah the truth. She has no concern for him, but only for the silver from the Philistines. As the drug dealer does not care about the addict, he only cares about his money. He doesn't care what it does to the addict's home and loved ones and on and on and on. But here it is, constantly offering it. He played with sin. He thought he could get away with it. He ignored the warnings. and he took lightly his relationship with God. These are very sobering truths. This is not a game. This is not a game. There really is a devil. And he is subtly attacking here Samson. He didn't jump out one day with the pitchfork. Oh no, you want that Delilah. He lied to himself and he has lied to Delilah. Now he has poured out his heart. Let us remember up to this point the three lies that he gave. In Judges 16:7, she asked, "Where is your great strength?" And he said unto her, verse 7 of chapter 16, "If they bind me with seven green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man." I almost seem like, just kind of like making a joke of it all. She keeps asking him, and he says in verse 11, he said unto her the second time, "If they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied." And a third time in verse 13, "And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." He said unto her, "If thou weavest the seven locks of mine head with the web." Now she tried each one. She tried to bind him with green withes that never dried. She tried to fasten him with new ropes, and she tried to weave his seven locks in a web. Samson, is anybody in there? And now you're going to pour your heart out and you think it's going to be different? Why is it so hard to stand up and say, "I'm a Christian, I don't do that"? You know why? Because the devil makes it hard. He's planting lies. No, you can't be demon-possessed once you're a Christian. You can't. But he can plant thoughts. They're going to make fun of you. You're not going to be cool. You really like Delilah. She'll be offended if you tell her you're a Christian. That's why, because the battle is very real. It's a very real battle. Now, usually when you read in Scripture and you see a list of things, it means something. So here we have these three excuses. What do they mean? These seven green withes, these new ropes, and the weaving of the seven locks. You know what they mean? Nothing. They're all miserable excuses, and any excuse to indulge in sin is meaningless. That's what they mean. They show the folly in trying to excuse and justify and lightheartedly treat whatever it is that's tempting you. That's what it's saying. Any excuse you use to justify flirting with your sin is nonsense. That's where Samson is. Nonsense. Samson chooses sin, not God. There is no honor in his honorable confession. There is no honor to what he has just said. I guess it's too little too late. He has now actually gone in for the fall. Because it's true. If his hair is shaved, he will become weak. Let us read chapter 17. "That he told her all his heart, said unto her, There has not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak like any other man." How this must have fallen on Delilah's ears. First of all, she doesn't care. She doesn't care about Samson. She cares about the silver. Wait a minute. Let me get this right. If you cut your hair, you're weak. Binding your hands made sense. Weaving your hair is silly, but getting a haircut? You want to bring that modern day? 1 Corinthians 1:18, Christian, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Delilah's. The word of God is foolishness to them that perish. But unto us, born again people that are saved, it's the power of God. So it is. Verse 16, verse 6. "Delilah said unto Samson, Tell me wherein thy great strength liest." This is what she wanted to know. Where is your strength? Where is this? Pretend. there's this big muscle guy here, right? And he walks over and picks up that piano. You would say, boy, are you strong. But give me a guy who's small of stature and he walks over and picks up the piano and you don't say, boy, are you strong. You say, how did you do that? You see, if he had rippling muscles, you would say, boy, are you strong. That's why I believe Samson was probably diminutive in stature. I personally don't think he was a large man. I think he was very common at best. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us he had big muscles. We assume that because of the feats that he did. But take a look at Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Do you want to have the strength of Samson? Yield yourself to God. And let God work. How did you feed the 5,000 with a few fish and loaves? How'd you do that? How did you defeat all those Philistines? How did you carry the gates of Hebron? How did you do that? By God, I did that. Folks, God wants to do great things through you and me and every believer. He wants to do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Ephesians 1:18 tells us of the incredible power that we have as Christians. Paul prays for these people in Ephesus and he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, get this, that you may know. I want you to know this. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, the very power that brought Christ from the dead and ascended him into heaven to the right hand of God the Father is the very power that God wants to work through you. Remember, three excuses Samson gave. She tried each one, and in each time, he was able to deliver himself from the Philistines. Instead of realizing the mercy and the grace of God, hey, wake up, Samson. Instead, it made him become complacent to sin. I tried it and got away with it. I tried it and got away with it. I tried it and got away with it until it vexed him. Instead of waking up from the warnings that he got, instead of that, rather, it emboldened him. Well, I can play with sin and get away with it. No, you can't. Do not ever take lightly the grace and the mercy of God. If you're trifling with sin, stop it, because it will bite and it will bite hard. The true source of Samson's strength was really not in his hair. It was in what that hair represented. I am not going to go too far into the vow of the Nazarite. But let us consider Numbers 6:5. All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in which he separates himself unto the Lord and shall be holy. What God is setting forth there is in the midst of all of the tribes of Israel, in the midst of all of the law, in the midst of all of the priesthood, and therein, he then says, now, by the way, there's a vow of a Nazarite. Do you really want to be holy unto me? Then do this. It's interesting, all of the law. He said, do you really want to be holy? And he gives three restraints, don't do. Samson has been a Nazarite from birth, and one of the things is don't cut your hair. And so it is that when he cut his hair, allowed that to happen, what happened was it broke his relationship, it broke his vow, his promise to God that I will be holy unto you. It's not so much the hair, it's what the hair represented. He shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. So it is. We don't have the vow of the Nazarite today. But we do have church, prayer, fellowship, personal study, separation from sin, embracing the things of God. These things bring strength in our lives when we do God's will, not mine, but thine be done. Samson thought that confession to Delilah would end his torment, but rather it brought greater bondage. He finally stopped the wrestling match Fine, are you happy now I'm a Christian? Modern day speaking, how many Christians have great spiritual blessings and yet they live in squalor because they trifle with sin and they fail to appreciate what God has and wants for them, wasting the few days they have here on this earth? I want you to see the real story of sin, verse 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, he poured out all of his feelings and emotions and convictions. She sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, a peace for a brief time. When you give in to the sin, there's a peace for a very brief time. But that's because the Philistines haven't arrived yet. And she called for a man. There was a special one. Personally, I think that was the devil, but I can't prove it. Or at least someone demon-possessed or Satan-possessed. And that man, she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Did you know the world does not care for us? They really don't. They make fun of us. And the Holy Spirit is working on them. And we're to stand strong in the midst of this sin-sick world, stand for truth, be a light, be man enough, woman enough to say, no. No! I'm not going to do that. And you're not going to put me on a guilt trip and vex me till I will. And get away from sin. Deep down, Samson always knew what was right, but he didn't want to admit it. In the midst of his sin, there with Delilah, trifling, having sport with her, whatever that Delilah was or is, he knew deep down. And she was asking him, and he knew inside, I'm not telling the truth. I'm living a lie, and I am miserable. Because I'm not being honest before God and man. Samson has no one to blame but his own self. Do not negotiate from sin. Flee from it. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, Paul says to Pastor Timothy. Run from them. Otherwise, you're going to be like Samson with Delilah. You will eventually succumb. You will neglect your God-given duties. Did you know temptations are very real? And the devil knows exactly where to tempt you. And he knows exactly where to tempt me. Some of you, it may be worry. Did you ever think of that as your Delilah? Whatever. Eve negotiated with the serpent in the garden, and here we are today. Samson wanted the things of God and the things of the world, but you can't have both. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is a very real battle. The lust, the desires of Delilah, of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. Oh, did Samson experience this? They lust against each other, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other, and it vexes you. The Old Testament illustrates in stories what the New Testament so clearly states. And we see it here, Samson illustrating Galatians 5:16 and 17. At the end of verse 17, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. There must be a decision eventually, and Satan's only goal is destruction. We saw this earlier in our study, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, and that's you. He truly does want you. If you're unsaved, he wants to keep you unsaved. If you are saved, he wants you to keep you from being fruitful and effective for God. Samson's peace, when he gave in to Delilah, was a false peace, and it only lasted a few brief moments, and the Philistines showed up. She stroked his brow now that he has fallen into her hands. She never cared. Did you notice that she gave in from vexing to afflicting when he poured out his heart and gave in? It's not going to get better. It gets worse. Would you get out of there? But he has completely succumbed to the temptation. In verse 20, and she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times and shake myself." But he wist, he did not know that the Lord was departed from him. There will come a time when God finally says, enough is enough. You see, in the Old Testament, they did not have the sealing of the Spirit like we have in the New Testament, in the church. God had departed from him. You want to deny me, Samson? Fine, you're on your own. And this time, he was daily pressed, but this time, he got up and he did not realize God had departed from him. Christian, this man has mocked the grace of God, warning after warning after warning after warning, and finally God said, "You're on your own. I'm not going to deliver you from this one." And the Philistines took him. They shaved his head, and he got up thinking, "I am going to do just like I always have. I've always been able to control whatever it is that I'm trifling with, whatever it is that has addicted me, this Delilah. I have trifled and I have been victorious. There comes a time God says, it's got you. I have tried to warn you. I have been merciful and you have not listened." He revealed the source of his true strength. "I will go out as other times before." No, you won't. This time the Philistines have taken you. It's interesting, that's the very last time we hear of Delilah. She's moved on to her next victim. When you have your Delilah and it finally conquers you and you're left with nothing but consequences, your Delilah is off getting somebody else until that person is destroyed, and then they're on their own with the consequences of sin, and that Delilah is off onto the next. Learn to say no. Your Delilah will depart from you either at your ruin or at your victory when you stand for God. The answer is obvious. Now, will you succumb? Will you do what's right? There was no announcement when God departed. Is that a scary thought? Are you playing with your sin? There is coming a time God will depart from you and say, "Fine, you can have it." I want you to get this. He was weak. He didn't know it. He did not awaken out of the sleep. He was there and she was stroking his brow. He woke up. And I just want you to think about this. He didn't look down and say, "Hey, my muscles are all real small." Okay, he was not a muscle man. I hope I've made that point. He's a common man like you and me. I believe of average build at best. And he didn't realize, "God is not with me anymore." And that must have been a frightening thought when those Philistines dominated him. The awful price he paid, chapter 16, verse 21, "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." He did the work of an animal. He never thought he would be a victim. He thought he could play with sin and get away with it. And he learned the hard way, spirituality is not a game. This is truth. Did you know that Samson's eyes got him into all sorts of trouble? Ooh, isn't Delilah nice looking? He saw better without his eyes. Sometimes God has to limit you and me. Paul had to have a thorn in his flesh because the pride would have gotten him. Samson saw better without his eyes. What an awful price to pay, though. He didn't control his temptations. And the real sad part of this story, it was completely avoidable. He didn't have to lose his eyes. He didn't have to lose his freedom. Delilah was nothing more than the fancy things around a hook to attract a fish. They weren't going to make him happy, but boy, did they look attractive. It's sad to think that God's man was in such a sad condition, but how much we do not heed the warnings, and therefore we suffer the consequences of the sin. Have you succumbed to your Delilah? Can I use the expression, although this is not pertinent for today, but the principle is, have you forgotten and forsaken your vow of a Nazarite? Now, we don't have Nazarites today, but we do have a commitment and a decision. Lord, I want to live for you and I want to be all that I can. Have you forsaken that? Let me tell you the good news. The consequences are there, but this verse is small but powerful. Judges 16:22. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. I hope that gives you tears at the mercy of God, that he would start to restore that vow of a Nazarite. Thank you, Lord. You see, God will forgive you. And there he was. God already began the healing process. Oh, Lord, how could I have been so foolish? And God is going to use him again mightily. The price is great. God used David. God used other men, women in the scriptures that have failed miserably. But howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow. Folks, can you make your hair grow? No. Only God can do that. And I want you to get it. The very next verse, they put him in the prison house and God immediately begins the healing process. What a God we serve. This man is good for a bad example. And he's also good to show the mercy of God. This is aimed at Christians. The principle is the devil wants to keep the unsaved unsaved. The principle is the devil wants to ruin a Christian's effectiveness. But where does it all begin? If you're not sure of going to heaven, listen. This is the most important thing you'll ever decide in your whole life. Let that hand represent you. Let that billfold represent sin. God loves you. He hates the sin. You came into this world with a sin debt, and there's nothing you can do to get rid of it. You die with this on you. You spend eternity in hell separated from God. That's not a popular message, but it's a truthful message. And God loves you, but he hates your sin. And there's nothing you can do to get rid of that sin. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to take your sin, my sin, and the sin debt of the whole world. And he was the perfect Lamb of God that gave his life, shed his blood, died, 3 days, 3 nights, rose again, paid in full. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I get it. It's nothing that I do to get rid of that sin. It's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid what I could never pay. And I believe that. And God says, the moment you believe, you have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, but he hated the sin, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to take your sin and my sin. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. End of subject. But have everlasting life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.